Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
This morning, I would like to talk to you on the topic of unity. Because how many of you know the world wants to divide us into groups, specific groups, and the world tries to put animosity between us. But in the gospel, we can be united. For those of you who don't know, I have one brother, and he is younger than I am, and my brother and I are as close to opposites as you could possibly get. He always has to be doing something active, always constantly has to be doing something active. And when we were younger, it would drive me insane. It would absolutely drive me nuts because I'm the type of person who could sit down, watch a movie, read a book, and I'd be content for hours on end just doing that. But that would not, he would be bored out of his mind for 15 minutes of that. He always, always had to be doing something. So when we were younger, it was always, James, what are we going to be doing today? James, what are we doing next? James, I'm bored. Let's go do something. And it drove me out of my mind. He wasn't just content sitting and watching a baseball game, which I love to watch baseball, but a half of an inning through, he's like, come on, let's go throw the baseball outside. And I'm like, Jonathan, let's just calm down and watch the rest of this game. We're opposites. We're opposites in other ways as well. For instance, he's kind of a neat freak. He likes everything put away perfectly. And if you've seen my office, then you know I'm not so much of a neat freak like that. He's also very disciplined in physical workouts. He loves to run. He loves to work out. He loves to lift. Me, on the other hand, obviously that's not the case. He's also ridiculously cheap. So cheap. He would rather go hungry than spend $2 for a burger at McDonald's because that's too expensive for him. The other day he told me he had yet to turn the air condition on in his apartment because he was saving money. When me, on the other hand, I've had my air condition on a long time, and I struggle just fasting a meal or two, let alone going hungry, just because I don't want to spend the money that I have. My brother and I are total opposites, and yet I love my brother dearly. He is one of my very best friends, and we are very, very close. You see, even though we're different, we can be close because we recognize that we're part of the same family, that we're family. And you know, this morning, we're going to be talking about being a part of God's family and how we can be united because we're a part of the family. See, we're in the midst of a series of messages called Gospel-Centered Living, where we've been working through the book of Galatians. And can you believe we're in part 8 of this series already? I mean, I can't even believe it. I've been blessed by every single one of these messages, and I hope that you have been as well. See, in this series, we've been discovering truth found in the book of Galatians. And the book of Galatians was actually a letter that was written and meant to be circulated among the churches in the region of Asia Minor called Galatia. And that area, Galatia, it's located in the same geographical area as modern-day Turkey is today. And the letter was written by the Apostle Paul, who had planted the churches in Galatia on his first missionary journey with his companion Barnabas. But the churches in Galatia, after Paul had left, they were being led astray by a group of Jews called the Judaizers, who were attempting to preach a different gospel than that the Apostle Paul preached. The gospel that the Judaizers proclaimed was a gospel of salvation by works. If you do these things, if you keep the law, then you'll be saved. But the gospel that Paul came proclaiming was a gospel that was by grace and accepted through faith in Jesus. In order to protect the flock in Galatia, Paul wrote to the Galatians in order that they would again understand the nature of the gospel and the power of their salvation. Galatians is all about this gospel, and we've been learning in this series that right relationship with God comes by believing, not achieving. The main question that the book of Galatians was a question, the same question that was answered in the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, if you are familiar with that. And this question was a racial question. Were the Gentiles offered the same gift of salvation that the Jews were offered? And if they were offered the same gift, how were they to accept this gift since they didn't keep the ceremonial law of the Jews? The answer is that the gift of God was given by grace and had to be accepted through faith apart from keeping the law. And if that was the case, then Jew and Gentile alike can receive the same gift. But this was difficult for many Jews to believe, because they believed that because God had chosen the law to come through them, that they were racially superior to the Gentiles. In fact, it was common for Jewish men to wake up in the morning and pray, "Lord, thank you for making me a Jew. Thank you for making me a man." But this type of prejudice was creating problems in an early church where Jew and Gentile, men and women, slave and free, were worshiping the same God together, united as a family. The question we see Paul answering in the next section of the book of Galatians that we're going to look over this morning is, can people with diverse backgrounds, ethnicities, and social classes be a part of the same family? Is it possible? Spoiler alert, the answer is, in Christ, they can. But don't take my word for it. Let's see what the Word of God has to say. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. So if you would like to get those out and turn with me, here at Painesville Assembly of God, we believe that the Bible doesn't merely contain the words of God, but that it is the Word of God in its entirety. We believe that it is powerful, that it has authority over our lives today. So with that in mind, let's read Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Here's what the Word of God says. "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You see, in the gospel, racial barriers are demolished. Social, economic barriers disintegrate because God is no respecter of persons. In the kingdom of God, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither black nor white. There is neither Asian nor Hispanic, because racial barriers are demolished in Christ. In the kingdom of God, there is neither slave nor free. There is neither rich nor poor, because economic barriers are destroyed in Christ. In the kingdom of God, there is neither male nor female, for in Christ, we are all united in one family, regardless of how different we may be. In the kingdom of God, there is neither those people or that group, because in Christ there is unity in the midst of diversity. This morning, I would like to title my message, "There is Neither," because in Christ there is unity in diversity. The world wishes to build barriers between people, but what Jesus did when he came is he united people. There are many reasons to divide, but in the gospel, there is unity in diversity. You see, no government structure, no political party, no social reform can ever accomplish what the gospel has already achieved. Not even in the United States, with all its greatness and freedoms, can it accomplish what the gospel has already done. The gospel is not a political movement. It is not a racial movement. It is not an economic movement. The gospel is much greater, because the gospel is totally inclusive. There's no legislation that can accomplish what the gospel has accomplished. The gospel is not limited to rich or poor. It is not limited to men or women. It is not limited to a certain racial or ethnic group. The gospel is not limited to a political party. The gospel is whosoever will come. The doors are open. There is only one qualifier for the gospel, and that is, are you a sinner? Because if you have sinned, then the gospel is for you. In a parallel text to the one we've read this morning,
Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. He wrote, "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Notice the inclusive tone of this text. In these verses, Paul uses the word all three times to show us that all are welcome to the gospel. Salvation is given to all who believe because all have sinned, and yet all can be justified freely by the grace of God. You see, the world likes to exclude people, but the gospel includes people. But how is this done? How can this be accomplished in a world that seeks to divide us by every means possible? How can we remain united? We must focus on what unites us rather than what divides us. My brother, as I mentioned earlier, he's a lot different than I am. And yet, if I focused on all of the things that he was different than me, I would become frustrated and we wouldn't be very close. But if I focus on the things that unite us, then we can be close. See, we're both very driven individuals, and so that's something that unites us. We're both introverted, and so we like to spend time away from people. We both love the Lord with all our hearts, and we both want to constantly better ourselves and each other, and we both are part of the same family, and those things are what unites us. See, I need to focus on what unites rather than what divides. And there are two things that unite all people, and one that unites us as a church. And this morning, we're going to be focusing on those things that unite us. Now, it is true, God has not created us, nor has he called us to look alike or to act alike. The body of Christ has many members, but each part of the body is equally important. God has created us each uniquely, with unique giftings and abilities. And therefore, it is important to celebrate our diversity. We celebrate our diversity because it is our diversity that confirms the creativity of our God. But as much as it is important to celebrate diversity, it is so much more important to celebrate our unity. Two things that unite all people. One, we are united as image bearers of God. And two, we are united in sin. One thing that unites us as a church is we are united in faith. These are the three uniting factors that we're going to talk about this morning. One, we are united with all people because all people are image bearers of Christ. Two, we are united with all people because we are united in sin. But three, with the church, we are united because we are united in faith. First, let's talk about how we are united as image bearers with God. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." God created all people in his image. The image of God was not reserved for the rich or the poor. It was not reserved for one race or one ethnic group. All people were created in the image of God, and therefore all people are image bearers of God. The image of God has nothing to do with race, economic status, or gender. When God created mankind, he didn't limit his image to an elite group. All people have been created in the image of God, which means all people deserve equal treatment and value. But how many of you know it can be difficult to value other people who are different from us? Well, because God has created each of us in his image, we need to value and respect and show love to all people. If you struggle to love as God loves, then try this. I don't remember who taught this, but years ago I was listening to a sermon by a pastor, and I'm sorry I can't give him credit because I just don't remember who he was, but I remember what he said, and it was so powerful. He said, before he goes into a conversation with a difficult person, somebody he knows that there's animosity between him and them, he says in his mind, "I love you, I love you, I love you," over and over in his mind. And he says, that thought, he's telling his mind, "I love this person." And so it's love that seasons his conversation and his actions throughout the conversation. So if you are struggling with a difficult person, and how many of you know that all of us have difficult people in our lives, then maybe try thinking in your mind as you're in a conversation with them, thinking, I love you, I love you, I love you. Why? Because God loves them. Why? Because they're created in His image. We're united by the fact that we are all image bearers of God. And we are united by the fact that we have all sinned. I've heard it said that there are two types of people in the world, sinners and saints, but I like to say there's one type of person, sinner. We read earlier, but I think it bears repeating, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I am included in that all. You are included in that all. In fact, the only person who is not included in that all is Jesus Christ. For He had no sin in Him, but the rest of us, we've fallen. And therefore, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Humans, though, we have this incredible ability to justify our own actions, don't we? I don't know how we do it. It's like we have some sort of superpower. When we do something wrong, we can convince our mind that it was actually right. Well, I can't tithe this week because then I wouldn't have enough money to purchase those shoes that I really want, and I look really good in those, and they would make me happy, and God wants me to be happy, so I'm doing the right thing by not tithing and buying those shoes. See how we justify ourselves. Or how about this one? I'm not going to tell my parents where I was last night because they would just worry about that, and God doesn't want them to worry, so I'm justified in not telling them. We have this incredible, almost superhuman ability to justify our own actions, to convince ourselves that the wrong we did is actually right. Yet the Bible is clear that sin is sin, that all have fallen short. The Bible is clear also that some sin will be judged differently than others. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 10:14-15, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. But the Bible is also clear that the results of sin are the same regardless of how we perceive one sin to another. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You can live your entire life and sin one time, tell one little lie, and yet suffer the same death as what we would call the worst sinner imaginable. You see, we are all united in the fact that we have sinned. The New Testament was written in the Greek language. And in the Greek language, the word sin is hamartia. And before hamartia was used for sin, it was actually an archery term that meant missing the mark. We have all missed the mark. We have all missed the target. We have shot our arrow off course. We have missed the bullseye of God's perfection. It's only Christ who hit it. We have all missed it, fallen short, failed to hit the target. We are different. We come from diverse backgrounds, but we can be united in the same fact that each and every one of us has missed the mark, and so there is no boasting in ourselves because all of us have missed the mark. We can have unity in the midst of diversity because we have all suffered from the same disease called sin. Sin left us hopeless, broken, and ruined. That's why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 said, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivered me through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are united in our sin. But another thing that unites us is the fact that Jesus came in the world and laid down His life for all of our sin. He didn't just die for the upper class. He didn't just die for one group. He died for all people. And it's His desire that all people would come to repentance and come to salvation. I love the imagery that the Apostle Paul uses in our text in Galatians 3:27. It says, For all of you who were baptized in Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. I'm going to invite Josh Rosen, if you would. Would you come on up for me? He's going to help me out in this message. Would you give him a round of applause as he's coming up to help me out? Thank you, Josh. You see, what the Apostle Paul is saying is that Christ took his righteousness and like a robe, he gave it to us. So I'm going to give this robe to Josh. He's going to help me. He's going to put it on. So the image is this. The picture is that Christ took his righteousness and transferred it to us. He has clothed us in righteousness. It's amazing what Christ has done for us. Once we've received the righteousness of Christ, though, once we've been clothed in righteousness, there's two things that we must not forget. The first is that the righteousness we have is not our own. It is Christ's. And we didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it, but he gave it to us. So if we see other people who are not clothed in the same righteousness, we should look at them through eyes of love and pity. Not through eyes that say, look down on somebody. That's not being united in love. And the second thing that we need to remember in this, that we must never forget, is that we're not so much different than they are. Because apart from the righteousness of Christ, we are nothing. Apart from being clothed in his righteousness, we are nothing. Isaiah 61:10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. We're clothed in righteousness, but it's not our own. His righteousness is a beautiful robe. But in Isaiah 64, the same prophet wrote this, all our righteous acts are filthy rags. He has traded your rags for his robe. He has taken your rags and placed his robe upon you. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Give Josh another round of applause as he makes his way back to his seat. Thanks, Josh. You know, a song that I love, but sometimes it confuses me, is Lord, I Need You. You know that song? The chorus goes, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. And sometimes I get confused when I'm singing that song because the words could be misconstrued to understand it as my one defense is my righteousness. My one defense, my righteousness. But that's not what the song is meaning at all. And so when I'm singing that song, I try to consciously remind myself that my one defense is not my righteousness, because my righteousness is dirty rags. But my one defense is his righteousness. And because I'm clothed in his righteousness, I can be set free from the power of sin. He has traded our rags for his robe of righteousness. We have been given a robe, not because of anything that we have done, but only because that which Christ did for us. We must never forget the fact that the righteousness that we have is not our own, but it was given to us by Christ. And therefore, we must never forget the fact that without it, we are no different from the rest of the world. When we realize that the only thing that separates us from being a slave to sin is Christ, then we can't look down on others who are still stuck in slavery to sin. But instead, we must look at them as God looks at them, through eyes of love. The only difference between us and the rest of the world is the righteousness of Christ. See, we are united, but we're united because of our sin. The fact that we are united by being created in the image of God is a fact that unites all people. The fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God is a fact that unites all people. But the third and final thing is that we are united in faith. And this unites us as a church. Listen, I don't know how you were raised, but I was raised that you stand up for your family. that you stick up for them. So I've been talking about my brother. I've been talking about how we're different in some areas, but we're alike in others, and we're really close. And my brother, when we were younger, you know, being the older brother, it was my job to stand up and protect my younger brother. That's what my parents taught me. That's what my grandparents taught me. You got to protect your younger brother. And I would never do anything to intentionally hurt him, but I would stand up for him in love and for protection. And here's the truth. The Bible says that we are all children of God. That's what we just read. Galatians 3:26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. So because we're united in our faith, we are all children of God. Listen, if you're a child of God, and if I'm a child of God, then you're my brother, and you're my sister. It's my job to love you. It's my job to stand up for you and to protect you and to defend you, because we are children of God and we are united in our faith in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how different we may be or how diverse we may look, we are united in the fact that we belong to Jesus Christ. In heaven, there will be people from every race, tribe, ethnicity, nationality, and culture together, praising and worshiping God in unity. Heaven will be the most beautiful picture of complete unity in complete diversity. It will be the most glorious thing because we will all be unified together, praising God. And listen, in that moment, our differences will no longer matter. Race will no longer matter. Material wealth will no longer matter. Social status will no longer matter. Titles will no longer matter. All these will be wiped away along with every tear from our eyes, because in heaven there will be ultimate unity in diversity. But my question this morning is, are our churches an example of heaven? Do our churches display the type of unity in diversity that we will find in heaven when we get there? In a society that seems to be ripping people apart in every direction, in a time when every difference between us is exaggerated, the barriers of race and social class are being built higher and higher, is the Church of Jesus Christ a place where we can be united regardless of how different we may be? Is our church a place where we can have unity in the midst of diversity? Is this church a place where we can love all people? Where we can allow love to conquer all of our differences? Listen, the gospel should be so incredibly attractive to our world. Why? Because the church should be the place where people from every race and ethnicity, every background, diversity of cultures, diversity of incomes, diversity of political parties, diversity can come together and unite in unity. And the church and the gospel is the only thing that can bring such people together. But how can unity and diversity be accomplished when the dividing wall of hostility is so great? We must look at people through the eyes of Jesus. The only way to destroy the dividing wall the world seeks to put between us is to look at people through the eyes of Jesus. Like God told Samuel as he was searching for the next king of Israel, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And though we may have many differences on the outside, when it comes down to it, on the inside, we are all sinners in need of Jesus. Every single one of us has a deep need. We are all sinners in the need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Greek, black nor white. There is neither slave nor free, rich nor poor. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. For Christ has created unity in diversity. I'm going to invite our worship team, if they would, to come and join me. And in just a few moments, we are going to sing one more song and worship and praise to our God and our Father who has created such unity amongst us. Listen, we can worship Him because the gospel has done something so incredibly powerful in our lives. And during this time, I'm going to also, as we start singing, prayer team, if you would, like to come forward as we start singing. Because if you have a need in this place today, then our prayer team would like to pray for you. But first, I want to give the invitation, because maybe there is someone in this place who has never accepted the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone this morning who has never been clothed in righteousness of Jesus. Maybe there's someone in here today who, maybe you came with low expectations, but the Holy Spirit has been moving in your heart. Maybe there's someone today who has heard this message of unity and thought there is nothing else like it in the entire world, and you would be right. There is absolutely nothing else like it in the entire world. It's the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and it destroys all barriers that we try to build between us. So this morning, I'm going to ask, with every head bowed and with every eye closed today, if you would say, Pastor James, I have never given my heart to Jesus before, but this morning, I would like to surrender my life to his love. I know I've missed the target. I know I've missed the mark, and I need his forgiveness. This morning, I'd like to repent of my sin and my self-righteousness, and I'd like to trade my rags for his righteous robe. If that would be you, right where you are, just slip your hand up and put it right back down. If you would say this morning, I've never given my life to Jesus, and I would like to, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? I see your hand. Today, if you would say, I have given my life to Jesus in the past, but ever since then I haven't been living for him, I've turned away from him, and this morning I would like to rededicate my life. Today, I'm turning over a new leaf. I would like to start following Jesus again. If that would be you, would you just slip your hand up right now and put it right back down where it is? Thank you. This morning, church, we're united. And so, would you please pray with all of us together? Let's all pray and repeat this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I've sinned. I know I've missed the mark. I need your righteousness. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. Make me new. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer this morning, then I believe that the Holy Spirit has entered your life and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You can be changed. This morning, church, before we sing and worship, I just want to read one more passage of Scripture to you before we enter this time of worship, before the prayer team comes. It's found in Matthew chapter 5. It's verses 21 through 24. It's a part of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Here's what Jesus has to say. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. This is how much unity means to Jesus. This is how much unity means to God. God desires conflict between us to be resolved. He desires reconciliation between people. It breaks the heart of God to see his children fighting and harboring hatred and harboring unforgiveness amongst each other. So this morning, if you would say, for whatever reason, in my heart, I know that I am not united with a brother or sister in Christ, then I implore you, make it right today. Make it right today. For some of you, that means having an awkward phone call conversation after church today. For some of you, it means apologizing for things that happened long ago. For others of you, it means offering forgiveness to someone who hasn't even apologized to you for the way that you hurt them. It may be awkward,
It may be difficult. It may hurt. But in the end, reconciliation between two parties creates unity, though we are different. And it's the heart of God that his people would be united. This is how much God desires unity amongst his people. He says, leave the gift and go make it right. So this morning, the worship team is going to start singing. And you would say, the Lord's tugging on your heart right now. I'm going to invite the worship, the prayer team, if they would, to come. And if you would say, I need prayer because I know that the conversations that I'm going to have in the next few moments are going to be difficult. Reconciliation with two people. We'd love to agree in prayer with you this morning. We'd love to help you with that. If you would say that I'm going through a difficult time and I just need prayer this morning, then won't you come as we sing the song? Or you might say that this morning I give my life to Christ for the very first time, but I don't know what to do now. We'd love to pray with you too. So for any of those reasons, I'm going to invite everyone in this place to stand with us as we go into worship and praise the Lord who brings unity in the midst of diversity. If you would need prayer, won't you come? Won't you come? Dear gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for the gospel that has wrapped us up in your loving embrace, Lord, has clothed us in your righteousness. Jesus, I pray that if there are those who would have harboring hatred in their heart for their brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray that that would be dealt with today, that you would work in the hearts and in the lives of, in our hearts and in our lives. Transform us and change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.